Hello, friends. I'm AJ, and welcome to the Herbivore Podcast. Through cannabis education and conversation, we are working to reduce the stigma behind cannabis use and spread information for everyone from the canna curious to legacy users. If you've listened before, welcome back. And if this is your first time, thanks for being here. On today's episode, we are going to be covering a little bit of Cannabis 101. So a really quick breakdown of some of the information you need to know in order to have a conversation with a bud tender about cannabis. And my goal with this is just to equip you with some language and some base knowledge so that you have an idea of what's going on when you're having a conversation with someone in store. I wanted to start by talking about the things that I feel are going to be the most prominent and the most relevant for the average consumer. When you go into a store and you're looking for a product, you're going to basically see three things really prevalent in a store. So you're going to see THC and CBD content. So those are cannabinoids. I will talk about what those are in a moment. You will see different formats. And you will see three different distinctions of indica, sativa, and hybrid. So let's talk first about THC and CBD, which are cannabinoids, and kind of what that means. Cannabinoids are the major active chemical compounds, chemical ingredients in cannabis. Delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, which is THC, and CBD is cannabidiol. I always forget how to say that one. THC interacts with the CB1 receptors in our brains, which contributes to that psychoactive effect that you feel when you consume THC. So this is why when you have higher levels of THC, you're going to get a more pronounced psychoactive effect. These chemical compounds, these cannabinoids, interact with different receptors throughout your body. These receptors are part of a system called the endocannabinoid system. And if it sounds like it's too good to be true, that there is a system in our body that essentially works perfectly with cannabis, well, it's not. There is a system of receptors present throughout your body, and these receptors interact with the chemicals that cannabis produces. It's a very complex system, and it regulates a ton of things throughout your body. It is a lock and key type system. So when you consume these chemical compounds, these cannabinoids, they essentially go through your system and find one of these receptors to be able to unlock. And that's what triggers those effects. Please remember that I'm not a doctor, so don't take any medical advice from me. I'm just speaking from personal experience and from what I've learned from working in the industry. I always suggest that anytime someone wants to use cannabis for a particular symptom or a particular issue they're having with their body, there are medical cannabis professionals that you can actually go talk to that can give you a prescription or at least help you find what dose is going to work for you. Because a lot of times when people are coming into the dispensaries, they want to know, well, how much should I take? How frequently should I take it? And budtenders are not doctors. Legally speaking, we're not allowed to actually give you any information on anything in store that is not recreational. So budtenders have to be very careful about what they can and can't talk about. I'm going to do my best not to get too sciencey in this podcast just because I want this to be beginner-friendly information and information that's useful for everybody. But as kind of a quick touch point on what the ECS affects, so the endocannabinoid system. So the CB1 receptors are more concentrated in your central nervous system, and activation of that receptor influences things like your sleep, your appetite, your senses, and your memory. The CB2 receptors are more concentrated in your organs, and this can aid in things like immunity and influence things like your body's response to inflammation. THC interacts with your system in such a way that it's going through your system and finding these receptors to unlock, which is, like I said, going to trigger these effects in you, the psychoactive effect, the tingles, everything else that you feel when you smoke or consume cannabis in any form. CBD is that non-psychoactive cannabinoid. There's no psychoactivity that you're going to get from CBD. A lot of people associate it with feelings of relaxation. Some people say it aids them in their ability to sleep, but there's no psychoactive component to CBD. CBD does not directly bind with your CB1 or CB2 receptors, but it kind of plays like a gatekeeper role of the CB1 receptor and decides what does and does not stimulate the cell. This is where it's important for beginners especially to know that CBD, because it works as that gatekeeper, is able to actually help when your body has become overstimulated by THC. So if you have consumed too much THC and you're feeling nauseous, you're feeling woozy, your system is just overwhelmed, it happens to the best of us. A lot of people call this greening out. If you get to that point, you can actually consume CBD or chew on a black peppercorn, and I'll explain why in a moment, but you can actually consume CBD and it will just kind of help bring your body back to a state of equilibrium, back to a state of a lack of panic, if you will. So for me, for example, I've had a couple times where I've consumed too much cannabis and I start to kind of feel nauseous and I get the spins really bad, and I find that if I take a CBD capsule or some CBD oil and just kind of sit with it for a few minutes, it helps to just relieve that hyperactivity in my brain, relieve some of those effects that I'm feeling from having too much THC. So it is really important to know as a new consumer that if you've never had THC before and you're unsure of how it's going to affect your body, this is a really, really useful piece of information to know, to have some CBD on hand in case you do get yourself to a point where your body is overstimulated and you need to bring yourself back down. There are also over 100 different cannabinoids in the cannabis plant, but THC and CBD are the two most prominent that you're going to see in market. Another one you're going to start seeing a little more commonly is Delta 8 tetrahydrocannabinol. So this is very similar to Delta 9 THC, which is what people are talking about most of the time when they're talking about THC, is Delta 9 THC. But Delta 8 THC is something that's fairly new to the Canadian market, and we're just kind of starting to see some products come out with Delta 8 THC. But it basically operates at about half capacity to what Delta 9 THC does. What this means is that it can actually be a really good cannabinoid for beginners to try, because you're not going to get as severe of psychoactive effects from it. Experienced users have referenced that it makes them feel kind of similar to the way that a balanced, like one-to-one THC and CBD strain makes them feel. So not super heavy on the psychoactivity, but still that full body relaxation. And this is why it could be very good for beginners to try, because it's going to help keep that psychoactivity from the THC at bay, because it's not as strong as Delta 9 THC is. There's two other cannabinoids that I want to touch on quickly that you're going to start seeing, or that you're going to see when you go into a store. These would be CBN and CBG. A lot of people are saying that CBN provides them with a lot of relief from sleep. So the way that it interacts with your body, it actually is able to help you fall asleep and stay asleep for longer. So for me personally, I don't necessarily struggle with falling asleep, but I do struggle with staying asleep. So I have a CBN vape cartridge by my bedside, and if I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't fall back asleep, I will just take a couple puffs off of that and I fall back asleep right away. It actually works so well for me, which I'm very, very thankful for. It's not going to work that way for everyone, but this is something that I found works for me. I also know that when you're consuming a lot of THC, that can actually inhibit your sleep cycles. So too much THC can actually have an adverse effect on your sleep. CBD also is not, as I mentioned before, I said CBD can kind of help people with sleep sometimes. And the reason for that is because it actually just helps your body with a sense of relaxation. So it's not necessarily doing anything different to help you fall asleep, but it helps your body relax. This is why having a couple different cannabinoids together, like CBN and CBD, maybe with a little bit of THC, is going to have a better effect on you than just having CBD or just having THC. This is because of something called the entourage effect. So the entourage effect is cannabinoids and terpenes all working together in harmony. I'll touch on what terpenes are in a second, but essentially it enhances the properties of cannabis because it's all these compounds taken into consideration working together. They are able to work better together than they do apart. So for example, as I mentioned, CBD inhibits how drastically THC can interact with your receptors. Consuming CBD and THC together is going to give you a much different experience than just CBD or just THC. that is something to take into consideration when you're looking for different products, is that you want to try to utilize these different cannabinoids to get that desired effect that you're looking for. It's not just high THC is the end all be all. The other cannabinoid I wanted to touch on that I mentioned was CBG. So CBG is another kind of newer one to the market that a lot of people don't know about yet. I've seen it with THC, so THC and CBG together. And for me, this one is kind of a, it's not super psychoactive for me, but it's more of like a full body, kind of tingly, giggly. I call it a feel-good cannabinoid because it just provides me with this very well-rounded sense of contentment and happiness. I really like the way that CBG interacts with my body. The nice thing about that as well is that because when you're getting a product that has CBG in it, a lot of times it's going to have a lower amount of THC or even a balanced amount. And so I really like the way that those make me feel. So we talked about cannabinoids. These are the things that you're going to see most commonly when you're walking into a store and you're looking for a strain or a product. One of the first things that you're going to notice is that on display for you is going to be the THC level and the CBD level or any other cannabinoids that might be in that product. This is why also that the market is so focused on cannabinoid content and THC and CBD content, because that's kind of where it started on. But we need to make the shift to talk more about terpenes. So what the heck are terpenes? I'm sure you're wondering. So if you've ever seen a really close-up picture of a cannabis plant, and it kind of looks crystally, it's got these like white or clear resin glands. They're like sphere-like bulbs all over the buds. And that is a trichome. A trichome is what houses the terpenes and cannabinoids. So that's basically the house of all of the goodness that you look for with cannabis. We talked about what the cannabinoids are. So the terpenes that you would find in trichomes, think of them like essential oils. So they give plants that distinct aroma and flavor in nature. They're used to ward off predators, to attract pollinating insects, or slow the maturation of a plant. There's well over 100 different terpenes in the world, in nature. But a couple of the most popular ones that you'll hear talked about is myrcene. So myrcene is probably the most common terpene that you would see in market. So that's that really earthy, herbal kind of smell and flavor. Myrcene is actually found in mango and lemongrass. Fun fact, they say that if you eat mango before you consume THC, you'll actually get a more pronounced effect because mango has that myrcene in it, and myrcene aids THC's ability to penetrate your blood-brain barrier. So it's actually going to make those effects a little bit more intense. So if you're feeling like you've kind of locked yourself in how much of an effect you can get out of a certain strain, maybe try having some mango beforehand. The next one is pinene. So pinene, as you probably tell from the name, it's that pine smell, and this is found in nature in pine needles and rosemary. So I do know that on the medical side of things, pinene is actually seen as like a bronchodilator. So think about when you walk into a forest and you take a big deep breath and you get that nice aroma of all of the pine trees around you and you feel like your whole body just opens up. That's because of the pinene. So for me, when I go hiking, I really like having strains that are high in pinene because I find it helps with my breathing, and it, which seems counterintuitive to smoke something to help with your breathing, but it's very uplifting and I find it kind of pairs really well with hiking in a forest. The next one is going to be limonene. So limonene is that citrus smell. So anything, like even think household cleaning products that smell like citrus, that's limonene. So this is in things like fruit rinds, like lemons, and peppermint as well also has some limonene in it. And then lastly is going to be caryophyllene. I've mentioned caryophyllene on the previous episode. Caryophyllene is that spicy black pepper aroma flavor, and it can be found in peppercorns. If you remember, I said that if you've consumed too much THC, you can either take some CBD or chew on a black peppercorn. This is where the black peppercorn comes in. So caryophyllene actually interacts with your system very similarly to the way that CBD does, in the sense that it can inhibit THC's ability to interact with your receptors. For me, when I'm looking for a strain, I will almost always try to find a strain that's high in caryophyllene. This is because my body can get very easily overstimulated by certain terpenes and certain cannabis strains. So when I find a strain that's high in caryophyllene, I know that that caryophyllene is going to help aid in preventing me from getting overstimulated or greening out. I always try to recommend strains that are high in caryophyllene, especially for new users. So those are four kind of key terpenes that you would hear about most commonly in the Canadian retail market. You're going to hear about myrcene, pinene, limonene, and caryophyllene. Those are kind of the four names that you would want to take note of for when you're going into a store. So we covered cannabinoids being THC and CBD, CBN and CBG. We covered what terpenes are and where the terpenes and cannabinoids are found in the cannabis plant in those lovely little trichomes. We also touched briefly on what the entourage effect is, having all of those compounds taken into consideration and them working together in harmony. So now we're going to move on to a couple other points about the cannabis plant itself. And maybe if you're looking at a bud and you're kind of wondering what other aspects of that are, we're going to talk about those really quickly. So as I mentioned, when you're looking at a bud and you see that blanket of kind of crystal, it's sticky, those are the trichomes on the cannabis plant. You're also going to see some hair-like strands that are usually yellow, red, orange, brown, kind of along those color schemes. And those are called stigmas or pistils. So they're hair-like strands on the bud. When the plant is still fresh and it's growing, they're actually used to collect pollen from the male plants. I've had the privilege of being in a couple grow rooms before, and the pistils are honestly one of the most prominent things that I notice on a fresh bud, because they're just like these thick, white, juicy looking strands that come off of the bud. But what's interesting to note is that they actually don't contribute at all to the potency or taste of the cannabis flower. They are there solely for reproduction purposes. So the only other thing you might notice if you're looking at a dried bud would be the calyxes, or the small grouping of leaves that forms in a spiral kind of where the flower meets the stem. It's kind of the base of the flower. It holds everything together. And a lot of times when the cannabis plant is dried, those leaves actually can kind of wrap themselves around the bud as like a protection almost on the bottom of the bud. So sometimes you'll notice those on your flower as well when you're pulling it out of the jar. Another thing I wanted to touch on that is important for when you're shopping in store, I mentioned three things being the cannabinoids, so CBD, THC, the different formats, and cannabis species. So cannabis species is that indica, sativa, hybrid distinction. And I wanted to talk about how that plays into market and how you can also work to shift away from that conversation and move into more of a conversation about cannabinoids and terpenes instead of species. So there's actually four species of the cannabis plant. So there's indica, sativa, hybrid, and ruderalis. Each plant type originates from a different area in the world, and they're bred to produce specific yields of flower. Technically speaking, in market nowadays, pretty much everything is a hybrid. Everything is a cross between two strains, and it's not very common that you're going to find like one of those landrace strains that are like the OG from way back when. The odds of you finding that in market, I'm going to say, are slim to none. So we'll start with indica. Cannabis plants were originally grown in mountainous, harsher conditions. They were a shorter and bushier plant. They have a shorter flowering time. It's bred to produce a more relaxing, more full body kind of experience. So for indica, you can remember indica couch. So that's the easy way to remember that. Generally speaking, indica strains are going to be a little bit more relaxing. The sativa cannabis species came from more temperate areas closer to the equator. They are taller, more slender plants. They have a longer flowering time. And generally speaking, they can provide that creative, uplifting, kind of mood enhancing effect. Then we have the hybrids, which is pretty much everything in market nowadays. But hybrids were bred for a desired effect. So for a specific creative feeling, a specific full body relaxing feeling, a giggly feeling, an energized feeling, whatever it may be, hybrids are bred to produce a specific effect. The ruderalis plant is a much smaller plant, and it's not really in the legal market because there is little to no psychoactive effect that comes from ruderalis because of the lack of the THC content in the plant. But historically, it's used for the production of hemp. So I just kind of wanted to throw that in there in case that name ever pops up for you. The flower that you receive is yielded from a female cannabis plant. The plants are male or female, or very rarely both. And once the female plant gets pollinated, it produces seeds. So this is why it's so important for the growers to keep the male plants away from the female plants, because if there's a male plant in there, it could pollinate all of their female plants, and then they're all going to be stressed out and they're all going to start producing seeds. You can tell the growing conditions of a plant, and I'm not going to get into that today, but you can kind of tell the growing conditions that the plant was in and how stressed out it was by what the flower actually looks like once you receive it. So this is why you'll notice craft growers that actually do a really good job of caring for their plants and making sure that they are growing in an appropriate environment are going to produce much happier, more potent, more flavorful buds. So the reason why I talk about shifting this conversation away from that indica-sativa hybrid distinction is because almost everything in market nowadays is a hybrid. The indica-sativa hybrid distinction is basically just so that retailers know what drawer to put different cannabis strains into. It doesn't really actually say a lot about the plant. It's also a really kind of basic stepping point, especially for a beginning consumer, a beginner consumer, for them to understand the potential effects that a strain might offer them. The effects of that strain is going to be a lot more dependent on the cannabinoid content and terpene content than it is going to be, and quality of that flower as well, than by what type of plant it was. Because of this, it gets a little bit confusing for some consumers, because you've got companies like Vertical and Redecan that both have a Cold Creek Kush strain. Well, Redecan's Cold Creek Kush is a sativa, and Vertical's Cold Creek Kush is an indica. Well, how does that happen if they're the exact same strain? It's because the terpene profile of these strains ended up somewhat different, meaning that they are actually going to give different effects. So this is actually what's really interesting about cannabis lineage and the need that we have to get rid of this indica-sativa hybrid distinction, because when we're talking about a strain like Cold Creek Kush, Redecan and Vertical both grew this Cold Creek Kush. They both have the same lineage. It's an MK Ultra ChemDog 91 combo. Redecan's flower produced a kind of dank, spicy herbal flavor. It has high levels of beta-pinene, nerolidol, transcaryophylline, and limonene. But when Vertical grew it, theirs ends up with this really distinct, earthy, woodsy, herbaceous flavor profile. And it is dominant in beta-myrcene, beta-osamine, and beta-caryophylline. So as much as some of the terpenes are very similar, these two strains are the exact same cultivars, but with two completely different terpene profiles. So this is why looking at terpenes in strains is so important, because you can't just throw any Cold Creek Kush into the indica category because it's not going to fit there. My goal is to help get rid of this indica-sativa hybrid distinction in market because, as I said, it's more so a categorization for stores to be able to know what drawer to put stuff in than it is to actually be able to communicate to the consumer. The last thing I want to quickly touch on is different methods and formats you're going to see in store. So dried flower being like 3.5 gram, single gram, 15 gram, 28 gram bags of dried flower. That is what that format is, and that is what you would use a bong, a pipe. You could roll joints with that. Then we have pre-rolls and blunts. So pre-rolled flower in a ready-to-go format. The difference between pre-rolls and blunts being pre-rolls are going to be like hemp paper, rice paper, anything kind of along those lines. Some companies like to use cigarette-style papers for their pre-rolls. And then a blunt is going to be wrapped in like a hemp leaf or a palm leaf or something along those lines. Then you have concentrates, which is dried flower or fresh flower that goes through an extraction process. there is a higher concentration of cannabinoids in a concentrate. This is why you're going to see those higher terpene percentages, the higher cannabinoid content, because this is a more concentrated form of cannabis. And for these, you would be using like a dab rig, or sometimes you can get concentrates that are in a pre-roll form as well. So I personally really liked the mixed format ones, which have like flower, hash, and oil all together in one pre-roll. I find that when I strain lock myself and or I'm having a hard time kind of getting the effects that I'm looking for out of a specific strain, or I'm just struggling in general to get those kind of effects that I'm looking for. Maybe I've been smoking more lately than usual. I really like those types of pre-rolls because I find they always give me a really nice, well-rounded effect, especially with the three different formats in there. Then we have vape pens and cartridges. So these are the easy on-the-go format that is just kind of a plug and play with a battery. You haul on it whenever. They're super discreet. They are very low odor, and they generally can come with a lot of really nice flavors as well. Then you also have the edibles and beverages. So these are going to be everything from chocolate to gummies to beer-type drinks to spritzers and everything in between. These are really nice for social settings, or if you're looking to be discreet or you don't like smoking, that's when an edible is going to be a really nice option for you. This also includes things like oils and capsules. So some people, especially with things like CBD, they prefer to have it in a capsule form because they can just kind of take it in the morning or whenever with whatever beverage. And it's nice, quick, easy, and tasteless as well. And then lastly, we have topicals and any of those other kind of niche products. So I've seen everything from bath salts to bath bombs to massage oils to lubricants to muscle creams. And so there is a very wide variety of products available on the market now. Well, I have ranted for a while. I have just dumped a lot of information on you. This was just meant to be kind of quick and dirty information for you to be able to be equipped with some verbiage and knowledge of what is actually in these products and how you can start this conversation with a bud tender. So with that, I'm going to leave you. Thank you so much for joining me today and for listening to this episode. I sincerely appreciate the support. Since launching this podcast, I have received such an amazing outpouring of support from family and friends, and I am eternally grateful. This is honestly something I have been wanting to do forever. I'm very thankful that I have the opportunity to do this on my own now. So thank you to everyone who's been supporting me, who's been sharing this podcast, liking this podcast, and amping me up, listening to me rant and listening to my anxieties about posting another episode. I seriously cannot thank you all enough. If you have any future episode ideas or any questions at all, please reach out on Instagram at herbivore.aj or shoot me an email at herbivorepodcast@gmail.com. I love to hear from you. I desperately want your feedback. So please spark a conversation and let's chat. Stay high and be kind, friends.